the perfect opening for my opening line for my homily. Everybody in their lives experiences moments of darkness, but also moments of dazzling. Okay? And we all do, in different ways, experience both of those things. We have moments in our lives where we experience that darkness that frightens us because we don't know what's happening. We don't know how life is unfolding. We are wondering where God is in the middle of all of it. Those are the moments of darkness. But there are also those moments of dazzling when we encounter God in such a way that it keeps us going all the rest of the time, even sometimes during the moments of darkness. Life is like that, I believe, for all of us. But sometimes we don't track all of those movements in our lives. And sometimes without a little spiritual direction or without some retreat time or without some moments to kind of step back and look at all of it, we miss some of it. We miss some of it because we're so busy getting through it that sometimes we don't happen to be able to stand back and see what God has been doing, all the ways that God has been tracing in our lives. I think back to some of the dark moments in my own life, and the one that came to me this week while I was thinking about all this was Holy Thursday of 1980. And it was during that time where the rector and I had that disagreement about how to run the seminary. And I was home, okay? And during that time, I was very angry with God. I thought that God had abandoned me. I thought that God had left me. It was darkness. It was truly a time of darkness in my life because I really thought all I was trying to do, God, was to give you my life, and you've just yanked the rug right out from underneath me. Now, I've gotten a little smarter since then, okay? But I do remember that time as being very dark. I remember that time of crying out to God. And I remember standing in the corner there at Sacred Heart Church in Florissant, standing in the corner outside, and I'm hearing the organ music inside. And I was glad the wind was howling around the building that night because I screamed at God, "Why are you doing this to me?" I remember those moments because it was dark. It was darkness. But then I think about some of the moments of dazzling that got me through that. Okay? That got me through that. The reason why I couldn't walk away from God was because, you know, about 3 years before, two or three, I remember having what I would consider my first truly mystical experience where I knew beyond a question of a doubt, and I know exactly where I was, in a chapel, at a retreat house in Florissant. We were on our junior retreat, and I remember in that moment knowing that God loved me beyond any question of a doubt and feeling in that moment that I knew what God wanted me to do. Having that affirmed for me in those moments. And then you put the two next to each other. You put the dark next to the dazzling and you go, wow, if I'd never had the dazzling, would I have been able to endure the dark? Would I have ever made it through it? Would I have ever been able to hang on long enough during that period of darkness to know that dazzling would eventually come again in some way, shape, or form? But that's what we call, friends, a life of faith. And we're no more immune from it than anybody else who's had to go through a life of faith. And our readings attest to it today. We look at Abraham. You know what Abraham had been doing before this? He'd been whining to God about the fact that his life was going to end. He didn't have any progeny, didn't have any children. And all of these things, you know, his life was just going to be ending, and that was going to be it. He had his moment of darkness. And in the middle of that darkness, God makes him look up the sky, the starry sky, and says to him, "Go ahead and count those stars if you can. But your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore." They then go through that very strange ritual of making a covenant, making that agreement where basically they're saying, and the whole symbolism there, we're going to cut these bodies in two and they're going to belong to each other. God says, "I'm going to give myself to you the same way you're giving yourself to me." What kind of a God does that? But God did. And in that moment, we've been in that relationship ever since, riding the great roller coaster of life and faith. But we've been there ever since. We stop and we look at Paul and the church at Philippi. And again, obviously something's going on in that church where some of the ones who were following Jesus and thinking there was a new way to look at life and everything are now going back to their old ways. And Paul is just saying, don't let the darkness of not having Jesus around day to day, don't let that darkness overcome you. Stay the course. Keep the faith. Do what we need to do to follow Jesus. Do any of you feel like that in the church today? If you're not, you're delusional. Why am I still here? Because God's helping me stay the course. Of course it's frustrating right now to be Catholic. Of course it's frustrating. And we hang our head in shame over what some of our people did to some of our people. But I still can't find anywhere better to be. Because trust me, if I could, I'd probably be there. But we ride that life through the darkness into the dazzling, because where else are we going to be fed as well by God's word, and especially with the Eucharist? Where else are we going to find that dazzling? I can't anywhere else. Again, giving myself to this life of faith for better, for worse. This is what it is. And so I stay. And trust me, I'm kind of glad you're staying too, because otherwise it'd be kind of lonely up here. Okay? But in there, we have those moments of dazzling, we have those moments of darkness. Look even at Abraham when he, right after he has the moment of dazzling, and then he has the moment of darkness. Sometimes they're all on the same day. Then we look at the disciples, of course, you know, and again, there with Jesus up on the mountaintop, those three. Don't ever miss the transfiguration window. I'm still always amazed at the stripes on Jesus' cloak in the transfiguration. See Moses and Elijah right below them, and then the disciples down below. And I still, in that moment, they saw something. They saw Jesus in one of his dazzling moments. But how many more dazzling moments were there when other people who didn't get to go up on that mountaintop still heard him preaching and teaching and came to believe that there was still something special about him? They didn't have those glow-in-the-dark moments of experiencing that with Jesus. That was something that some of the apostles got to see, and not even all of them. But what about all those other moments when they encountered Jesus as he preached and he taught and he walked among them and he loved on them and he did his thing and encountered them? And because of what they were encountering, they began to believe in that he was the one they were waiting for, that there was something different, that he was special, that somehow he was worth following. And did you ever stop and think that if all of them had not done that, what would we be doing this morning? What would we be doing this morning if 2,000 years ago they had not come to believe that he was the one? If they'd not allowed themselves at those moments to be dazzled by Jesus' presence, we'd be sitting in a whole lot more darkness, if you ask me. And so, let's pray for each other this Lent. Let's pray for a few moments of dazzling in our works of penance, in our prayer, in our fasting, our almsgiving. Let's pray for those moments where we can reflect on life. Let's pray for those retreat moments. Maybe they're only going to be moments. Maybe there'll be a whole retreat for you. I don't know. But what I'm saying to you is, and I'm saying to me is, we have to give ourselves over to those moments, because if we never stop and stand back and look at where we've been and where God has been in the middle of all that mess, if we don't look at those moments of the darkness and the dazzling, then we're going to miss some of what God has done in our lives. We're not going to be able to see it. Now, I don't care whether that's a few moments of locking yourself in the bathroom and not paying any attention to the pounding on the door. I don't know if it's going to be standing outside for a few minutes in the morning, watching a sunrise, or catching a sunset maybe in the evening. I don't know what it will be for you. But what I am saying is, we need some moments of contemplation to understand both the darkness and the dazzling. God teaches us through them both. And we can't afford to miss them. Because if we do, then our lives will never have those moments of transfiguration that we depend upon, especially in the moments of the darkness. Let's pray for each other this Lent, that our God may be with us in both, and that we might continue to walk forward in faith as people on a journey to that encounter with our God.